Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it is a Tuesday. We are live in Los Angeles. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. 1 hour from now, the Herd hierarchy, 10 best teams in the NFL. Promise I'll have the Steelers somewhere in the top 10. And the Saints, by the way.
Yeah, so, you didn't have the Saints in the top 10 last week, huh?
I didn't. I just all year long, I'm like, can't throw a deep ball in this league now. Forget it. So that's Joy Taylor, of course. Joy, I'm going to say something. I'm not going to speak for women. I want to speak for men.
Okay.
We're lousy at exes.
At exes?
We have great pickup lines. We don't know how to break up.
Oh, yeah.
We always get into wars. We can't get out of them. And that's the theme, Joy, for today's start. Guys are great entering stuff. Then we walk into a restaurant, bar. We got the pickup line. We can never get out of a relationship. Right? It's always clunky, right? Do I email her, call her? I mean, we've always done this as guys. We're good getting into business. We come up with ideas. Then it unravels. How do we get out of this thing? Exit strategies is a skill. Some do it better than others. Johnny Carson, great last show. Boom, out. Never saw him again. That's how you do it. Bill Belichick, smart. Tom Brady left New England. Why would he stick around? I mean, you see what's going on in New England. Bill Belichick's won 43% of his games in his career. Bill Belichick without Tom Brady. So when they win last night, they are no longer getting one of the top three college quarterbacks. Top five picks in the NFL draft, three of the five teams are taking a quarterback. Jets 1, Jags 2, Washington number 5. Dallas and the Giants, my guess is, stick with their current quarterbacks. Well, Colin, they can get Zach Wilson. They can get Zach Wilson at BYU. No, they can't. Today, the Patriots have the 13th pick. Beyond those top three, Jets, Jags, Washington, Carolina, Atlanta, Detroit, and Minnesota may all draft Zach Wilson. They're not getting the number 4 quarterback. And they're going to beat the Jets again. And they'll probably win another game because of Belichick. What's their quarterback solution? Brady left New England. Why can't Bill? Bill knows you can't win in this. All I heard in the offseason, all Joy and I heard, Belichick, he's brilliant. He'll go 11-5 on genius. You're watching them. They can't move the sticks. They got lucky to win. Lucky to beat the Jets last night. We're outplayed most of the game by the Jets. You can't. Pete Carroll couldn't win. Bill Belichick couldn't win. You can't win without a quarterback. And the quarterbacks are getting better and they're getting younger. And you got to have a quarterback. New England's got Josh McDaniels. The owner, Kraft, likes him. They already signed him to a massive extension, highest paid coordinator. Just think about this today. They can't solve their quarterback solution. They're not running this Cam thing back. They're not running this thing back. Garoppolo, I get it, but he's never healthy. Matt Ryan, have you watched the NFL? Matt Ryan's not the future. He's expensive, he's past his prime, and he can't move. He's a statue. Look around the league right now. The Jags are going to get the number 2 pick and a star quarterback. Bill Belichick, old guys like Florida. Parcells went there, so did Coughlin. Jags, Bill, run the whole show. You're the coach, you're the quarterback, here's Justin Fields. It is built for Belichick. It is built for Belichick. L.A. Chargers, they need a new coach, right? They got the star quarterback. They're in a crowded sports market. The Lakers, the Clippers, the Rams, USC, to hockey, to soccer, to baseball, World Series champs, NBA champs. They got to make a splash. Justin Herbert and Belichick sell tickets to a franchise, the Chargers, that can't sell tickets. But if you look at the Jaguars, they could use a coach and a GM, and they'd give total power to Belichick with Justin Fields. Okay, cap space and a star quarterback. Chargers already have the star quarterback, have a really good GM. They're ready to win now. The Chargers are, they take a 2-touchdown lead on everybody. I could throw in Houston too with Deshaun Watson. The guy running him right now is Belichick's friend. I could throw in the Bengals, although I do think their coach has done a really good job. They do have Burrow, but I don't know. I think Belichick's done Ohio before. I think he's done with Ohio. But you start now in 6 months, Belichick's going to wake up. Trevor Lawrence is going to be the Jets quarterback. Tua's the Dolphins quarterback. And Josh Allen's the Bills quarterback. It is, and you got Jarrett Stidham. It's time to go. That's what Nick Saban's sitting around in Alabama doing. That's what Nick Saban's doing. He's sitting around waiting for the $6 million a year college football analyst job at a network. But he's still good, and he's still got his quarterback. But Saban has told people, I don't want to be Bobby Bowden. I don't want to be one of these guys, Joe Pa. I want to exit at the right time. And Saban's young, but he's like, I want to go move right into television, and I'm going to do it. He's just going to sit there and wait and wait and wait and wait and go, okay, boom, I'm done. Now, this year, Alabama's really good, looked like the best team in the country, so this isn't the year he's going to step out. But Belichick's got nothing to prove. If he's looking for power and a young quarterback, Jacksonville is made for him. And Belichick has had enough of Nantucket and Boston winters. His beautiful girlfriend, I think they'd love to live on the beach. And by the way, the Chargers, they're desperate to sell tickets. They can't sell tickets in Los Angeles. They have the star quarterback. The Spanos family has been reluctant through the years to pay big money for a coach, but they've had some good coaches. Time to get another one. But this idea, Brady left and it surprised us. What's Bill have to sit around for? Robert Kraft has a coach in waiting. The division now. You're going to have Tua, Josh Allen, and Trevor Lawrence because the Jets are moving off Darnold. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. Perfect time to bolt. And this idea, well, you know, Bill's a genius. You can be the world's smartest guy. Pete Carroll was fired twice and 14-18 in Seattle pre-Russell Wilson. And Belichick won 43% of his games before Brady. And he had good quarterbacks. Drew Bledsoe can spin it. So I think exit strategy, there's an art to leaving at the perfect time. Let Josh McDaniel face Trevor Lawrence twice a year and Tua twice a year and Josh Allen twice a year. And by the way, Flores looks to be a great coach. Great. And by the way, Sean McDermott in Buffalo, great young coach. You want to cement your legacy? Hand it off to Josh McDaniels. New England's run is officially over. Bill, go grab some golf clubs. Either go to Jacksonville or the Chargers. Get your star quarterback. You deserve it. You did it the hard way in New England. You built it from scratch. You turned Brady into a six-round pick to a star. Belichick has earned the right to cherry pick. At the end of his career, Peyton Manning earned the right to pick Denver. Tom Brady earned the right to pick the Buccaneers and their weapons. Bill Belichick has earned the right to go, I don't want to rebuild. The Chargers ready to win now. Or go to Jacksonville. Rebuild again with a star quarterback. But Tom left, why can't Bill? So the story, Tampa got blown out, just terrible. And Bruce Arians, for the second time, took a little bit of a shot at Brady not getting the ball to Mike Evans. Here we go.
With him being the best receiver on this team, why isn't Byron making a more concerted effort of getting Mike involved in the passing game earlier?
Mike was open a bunch in that ball game. He just didn't get targeted. That's all. He was open. Mike was open.
Oh, that's a little. Let me just say this. It doesn't really matter. Here's the big problem in Tampa this morning. They're a fifth seed. They're a wild card team. Saints beat them twice. Saints are the number one seed. They're going to get a bye right now. New England, as of this morning, would have to go on the road three times to get to the Super Bowl. They'd have to go to Philadelphia and Carson Wentz and win there. Tampa would go to Philadelphia. Tommy and Tampa would go to Philadelphia, Carson Wentz. Could you win there? And then Tommy and Tampa would go to New Orleans and face Sean Payton in the Superdome, and Drew Brees. Got to win there. And then Tommy and Tampa would have to go to Seattle and beat Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson there. That ain't happening. Brady never won back-to-back road playoff games in New England. And that was with Belichick. That was with great defenses. That was with O's outstanding top five offensive lines. He's got the defense, but he doesn't have the O-line he had in New England or the coach. Just say it out loud. Playoffs, road, Carson Wentz, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson. You're not winning those games. You may win one of them. You're not winning all three. So Sunday wasn't just about an ugly loss. Sunday was about officially becoming a wild card team in the NFC. Things may get worse. You may have to go to Green Bay and face Aaron Rodgers. Maybe Philadelphia in their division goes on a win streak. Maybe Green Bay struggles a little bit. I mean, all I know is today it's Wentz, Breeze, Russell Wilson. All with really good coaches. One's already beaten Belichick in a Super Bowl. Sean Payton's got a Super Bowl, and so does Pete Carroll. You're not beating those quarterbacks and those coaches back to back to back on the road. It's not about what Bruce says or Tom says. He couldn't win back-to-back playoff games back-to-back in a weaker AFC. NFC's too thick now. He's 4-4. Tom was 4-4 on the road. Said this for years. Part of the greatness of Tom, let's be honest about it, was the dysfunction of Miami and the Jets and the Bills. He always got a home bye. He went 5-1 or 6-0 in division all those years. Usually 5-1. So that's Sunday's loss. The finger-pointing stuff, I couldn't care less about. But this is a wild-card team now. They're not winning their division. And to go on the road three straight times and win, three Super Bowl-winning coaches. Three Super Bowl-winning coaches. Brady's not getting to a Super Bowl in Tampa. That's what Sunday. Sunday said they're still really good, but so much of sports is your path. I mean, Georgia is a great football pro. If Georgia played in the Pac-12, if Georgia played in the Big 12, they'd play in the national championship game every year. But Clemson gets to play in the lousy ACC, so their path is easier. Much harder to get out of the SEC and get through Alabama. Your path, I mean, New England's path for 20 years was Jets, Dolphins, Bills, 5-1, bye home playoff game. That was a huge component to their success. They're not winning three straight roadies against Super Bowl winning coaches. They're not doing that. Tampa's out of the Super Bowl run. They're not winning the Super Bowl with that. Unless the Saints go into the tank, which, if Drew Brees is upright and Sean Payton's still coaching, is not going to happen. Coming up next, Jerry Jones is still talking. He loves his Dak. He's talking on Dallas Radio this morning. Plus, next hour, top of it, Collins Herd Hierarchy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
On the road to lighten the holidays, don't want that car to break down. Is your warranty run out? Go to carshield.com. Put in the code HERD. A deductible may apply. Get 10% off if you put the code in, though. A lot of driving here. A lot of driving. Not as much air travel as we've had as the cases surge for COVID. So get in your car, drive to your family, go to carshield.com. So Jerry Jones always does a Tuesday morning press conference. If I was a coach of a team or GM, I wouldn't love my owner holding a press conference. He does. It's Dallas. It's 103.5, The Fan. And the media in Dallas, you know, everybody's got eyes. We're looking at Kyler and Tua and Lamar, and we're looking at this great quarterback play, and Cowboys can't score, and Dak's off an injury, so the inevitable questions come up to Jerry Jones every week.
Is it crazy to bring up the idea of taking a quarterback with the third pick, or the second yes. pick, if you may have it?
Yes. You asked me if it's crazy to bring the idea up, and I'm answering you, yes. We're playing games here, guys, but it's not the thing to be talking about at all. You know, Dak is our quarterback.
But, I mean, it's a question, and the reason people are asking it is Dak isn't Lamar or Kyler Murray, or he doesn't look like even Herbert right now, or Joe Burrow, and he's got one playoff win, and three of the 4 years he had the best running back and the best offensive line easily in the NFL. Remember, it is hard if you're great. Russell Wilson's great. He's the best football player in the world. He's the best football player in the world. Mahomes is the best quarterback talent. But Russell's the best football player in the world. Since getting to a Super Bowl against New England, he's never won back-to-back playoff games. It's hard. Like, it's hard. Go look at Big Ben, Tomlin. They're going to end up in the Hall of Fame. They always have good defenses. They draft well. They develop well. Where are their back-to-back playoff wins in the last decade? That's with Hall of Fame first ballot coaches and quarterbacks. Is Mike McCarthy? I mean, I don't know. You're watching what I'm watching. I think the Dallas Cowboys have become the Lakers. They're all up in their feelings. It's a big brand. It's a family business. They've got lots of trophies in the case when they walk by them every morning down the hallway as they go to their offices. And those things, you know, they reverberate. It's in your conscience. You're sitting, we're the Cowboys and this and that. And then the Lakers had Magic Johnson running the team, and all of a sudden they said, okay, we got to make a seismic move. Fire Magic, go get LeBron, and now they have championships again. Dallas has to make a seismic move. That's why I don't buy Dak as a long-term future. Dallas suddenly is soft. They're all in their feels. The 49ers get to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. They lead in the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo in the fourth quarter. The minute the Super Bowl is over, multiple sources say they were on the phone looking for potentially another quarterback. Like that's the way the game works. I mean, Belichick loved Tom Brady less after Super Bowl wins than Jerry loves Dak now. If the Cowboys were an emoji, they should just make this their new helmet. If the Cowboys were an emoji, they'd be the heart eyes. Because they're all in their feels. Russell Wilson struggles to win back-to-back playoff games. Big Ben can't. And that's with Pete Carroll and Mike Tomlin. Those are top 6-7 coaches in the league. It's nothing against Dak. There's a place for Dak in the league. I mean, he puts up stats, but, you know, if you take out the Giants and the Washington football team, and Giants are actually not bad this year. If you take those two teams out, Dallas last 2 years has 5 wins. But I think they have to make a seismic move with the organization. I just don't think they're comfortable with it. That's okay. But I watch this. When you get these big brands and a lot of trophies in the trophy case, and it's a family business, and it's hard to say, Magic, you're fired. It's hard to say, Dak, we love you, but. It's hard to do that stuff. I'm not saying it's not hard. But God, Belichick showed less loyalty to Brady, and the Niners were on the phone an hour after the Super Bowl with Garoppolo. Sometimes you got to be cold in this league. The NFL it's not for long, right? You got to be cold sometimes. And I think Dallas is the heart emoji now. Hearts in the eyes. That's what they are. They're all in their feels. Good luck. But that's if you want Super Bowls, that's a rough way to go. I've seen that thing play out poorly multiple times. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
Well, let's stick with the Lover Boys. They're off to a slow 2-7 start this season, the Cowboys. And Stephen Jones was also asked whether the new head coach, Mike McCarthy, would be safe regardless of how the 2020 season ends.
You got to take a deep breath on these things and keep your confidence in the decisions that you've made. And I know Mike started very similar in Green Bay in terms of his first year there, and they finished strong. And certainly that's our goal here is to finish strong and compete in the East, and we'll go from there.
You can certainly make the argument that his first year with Aaron Rodgers, they were, I think, 6-10.
They were 4-8, and then they won their final 4 games, yeah. And then they were in the NFC Championship game the next year at 13-3.
Good argument.
Garrett Gilbert is not Aaron Rodgers.
No.
I think that's not probably revolutionary news to anyone.
But it's a good sales pitch if you're Mike McCarthy, is just go back to my first year. It didn't, it wasn't all great.
No, I do. I don't know that things have gone the way that I expected them to go this year. Obviously, you don't have Dak Prescott. So it's really, when you lose your franchise quarterback, it's kind of impossible to evaluate what a team is.
Yeah.
That said, they were struggling when Dak was there playing, and it doesn't seem like they've had it together at any point this season. But I don't think that you can bail on Mike McCarthy after 1 year. I don't know that there was ever a chance that would happen unless something really, really dramatic happened. And once Dak went down, it's kind of went out the window. You've got to give him another year at least. You know, I don't believe in cycling through coaches. It's a lot to do.
But you also sometimes make a bad decision. Like, I'm with you. Like, I believe the Steelers are the role model of how to do it. Noel, Coward, Tomlin.
But they also made great decisions.
Yes, they're really a total exception in the NFL.
They're an outlier.
A total outlier.
Along with the Patriots, obviously. Yeah. But even still, more of an outlier than the Patriots. So I think you have to give him a little bit more time.
All right.
He has won a Super Bowl.
Okay.
You know, he was a part of Aaron Rodgers' development.
Fair.
So I do think he deserves another year based off
that. All right.
And keep in mind, I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying how I am evaluating the situation with the Cowboys. And I don't think that the Cowboys are going to win a Super Bowl anytime soon, just to be clear. they are one of the teams that has a new coach in a COVID shortened season.
That's fair. These are all reasonable. I know my eyes are telling me they're poorly coached, but you know what? These are reasonable things to say.
I think it's been a complete disaster in Dallas this year. Completely. But you did lose Dak. It's a COVID shortened season with a new coach and a
new example.
Environments, new culture.
So I got a bunch of kids and they're all doing Zoom classes.
Right.
So it would be a year that they could say, Dad, I'm getting C's and D's. It's COVID. I'm not going to the class.
I can't focus.
I totally get those excuses. But what Dad is saying is, well, you have less time to screw off, and so you can get A's. It's just going to be a little harder. And so what I'm saying is, I'm not saying the COVID isn't a good excuse, but I'm watching the New York Giants, and they're getting better every week.
But what if your kid habitually gets B's?
Then he should get...
And then you're expecting him to get A's in a COVID year, and he's getting C's. Because we are honest about the Cowboys, we can be honest about the Cowboys because we don't own the team, and at least you and I aren't Cowboys fans. Obviously, Goulet is.
I had this discussion with my wife last night. I said, listen, you can use COVID as an excuse, but I said society gives us these things about twice a decade, these big hiccups.
Right.
Now it's a pandemic. We never had one of those. The stock market crashes. You know, we go to war, our budgets, we go into a recession. The country about 2-3 times a decade gives us one of these moments. And my takeaway is, as my dad used to say, recessions are the garage sales for the well-prepared. You got, just because life doesn't groove it to you to win doesn't mean you can say, we can't win now. I'm watching the New York Giants get better. And I'm watching the Cincinnati Bengals with a rookie quarterback get better every week.
I am not saying COVID is the main reason. I'm just saying there are, you know, kind of layers of reasons.
All right.
And one of these teams was going to really struggle with a new coach, and it just happens to be the Cowboys. And there are several reasons for that. That said, they're still in the mix. The Eagles are 3-4-1. Washington is 2-6, and the Cowboys are 2-7. The Giants are 2-7. So whatever the NFC East is, winning it's not going to accomplish anything for them this year. They have a bye this week, then they're at the Vikings, Washington, and at the Ravens. Vikings have been playing better as of late, so it might be a bad three-game stretch for them after they get back from the bye. So the Carolina Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey could be sidelined again after suffering a right shoulder injury late in Sunday's 33-31 loss to the Chiefs. Head coach Matt Rhule said he is listed as day-to-day. The injury came with a minute 10 left in the game.
When you fall,
Sorensen slammed him.
Anytime you fall on your shoulder...
Yeah, you could tell there was something wrong. Yeah, he was doing that. Yeah. They showed him doing that on the sideline.
Darnold did that 2 weeks ago. Like, you get banged on your shoulder. My son was playing flag football, tripped and broke a collarbone. Like, collarbone, shoulders. You never meet an NFL player who played a decade in the league with good shoulders.
Yeah, my brother broke his collarbone.
Offensive line. Yeah, no, it's like collarbones break easily.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that he's saying it's shoulder, not collarbone yet, but he came back for one more play and then he wasn't able to come back in. He didn't miss a game in his first three seasons, including last season. Yeah. When he became the third player to have 1,000 yards rushing and receiving in the same season. But even in this game, I mean, he was 18 rushes for 69 yards, a touchdown, 82 passing yards and a passing touchdown. So he's huge for them. So hopefully he's able to come back for their next stretch. So Trevor Lawrence has been the presumed number one pick for a while now. And he was asked about his future on Monday, and he clarified he's leaving his options open.
My mindset is the same, and I really don't want to talk about it anymore, honestly. I'm just trying to enjoy my last whatever few months here, if that's what it's going to be. I'm just trying to enjoy it, and obviously I'm not trying to make a stir. I don't want any more people talking about me than they already are. So my thing is, I'm just never going to corner myself to where I have to do something just because of something I said in the past.
I almost always side with the college athlete in these spots. However, to whom much is given, much is required, Trevor. And you are going to be the number one overall pick in the draft whenever it is that you choose to enter the draft. And the talking about you is only going to increase once that happens. You have now passed over into a space of transcendence. All the eyes are going to be on you for the rest of your career. That's how this works when you're great. So I can't imagine how annoying it is to be asked the same question every time you speak to the media, but that's just what's going to happen because everyone wants to know. And he's saying the right thing.
Yeah.
He should leave all of his options open. I think there's a 1% chance he goes back to Clemson next year. I do not think that he should do that. The injury risk is tremendous once you get into that space. So I do think he's going to enter the NFL. He's right to say this because he wants to keep all of his leverage, and he should. But people are focusing on everything that he does. There's a reason for that. He's the best player in college football, and that's what's going to happen. So I think he's right to say this. I don't think he's going to go back to Clemson, though.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Three Super Bowls and a two-time Pro Bowler. He's also one of our broadcasters, Fox Sports NFL analyst Mark Schlereth, joining me, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Speaking of quarterbacks, you had the Raiders-Chargers. So I want to talk about that because I watched a lot of that game. So your takeaway, we've been saying this on our show for 2 or 3 weeks. Do you buy the Raiders? What do you make of the Raiders? Are they good? They beat Kansas City, or are they were outplayed by the Chargers? What do you make of the Raiders?
I think the Raiders are a good football team. I think there's a couple of things that I think about when I think about the Raiders. If they can adhere to what they are, and what they are is a bully. Like, if they can play that style of football, control the line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the ball, absolutely beat you up, running the football, opening up their play action stuff, they're a really tough team to beat. That takes the pressure off their defense. It's real complementary football style when they control the line of scrimmage. If they can't play that way, they are very susceptible. I don't think talent-wise they're talented enough on the defensive side to consistently rush the opponent's quarterback unless that opponent starts to start counting possessions. You know, oh, we've only got, you know, in a normal game we have 12 possessions. We're only going to have 8 or 9 because of the way they're running the ball and controlling the line of scrimmage. So we've got to put our quarterback in more of harm's way. That's how they're built. If they play that style of football, they're a really good football team. They're a really tough football team to beat.
By the way, it was amazing to watch Tua and Kyler. You got to see Justin Herbert live. Listen, he's big with a good arm. But what did you see with the Chargers quarterback beyond just he's big with a good arm?
Yeah, I think that's coming out of college. Everybody talked about athleticism, a big kid. I absolutely hose, you know, I mean, this kid can throw the ball, but I think what surprised me or even what surprised a lot of the Chargers players and coaches is his ability to be accurate and throw a layered football. His touch is exceptional. And I mean, I'm talking about touch and you know, throwing over a linebacker in front of a safety, beautifully thrown, beautifully layered passes. His knowledge of the game, he's really done a good job of understanding pre-snap what teams are giving him, what they're in, and being able to dissect that and go out and cut up a defense. So I think he's exceeding everybody's expectations. And like I said, the touch, the layered nature of the throws, that's been probably one of the most impressive things that I have seen on tape. And I think the thing that has impressed his coaches with him is that ability.
So I watched the Raiders Chargers game next to the Arizona Miami game, and I gotta tell you, it's too bad you had to broadcast the other game because it was hard to keep your eyes off Tua against Kyler. You watched it. I mean, what'd you make of Tua? What were your impressions?
My impressions of Tua were I was pleasantly surprised at the progress he made from week one to week two, how much more comfortable he was. He obviously understands the game. He sees the game well. He knows where he wants to go with the football. He's very accurate with the football. I keep thinking about how these young quarterbacks are coming into our league and just really tearing things up, really understanding the game. And obviously the game has morphed into somewhat of a more collegiate style of football with all the shotgun and some of the spread stuff. But to watch Kyler Murray, to watch Tua orchestrate in the pocket, to do the things they do, and then have the ability to escape, to move around, to create, you know, second window throws, to put the defense on its heels. It's just remarkable. Our league is in a really good spot with all the young quarterbacks playing exceptionally well right now.
You know, it's really funny. I was just thinking about that, Mark, as you said that. The NBA, because of the one and done, which most of the good players do one and done. So basketball players globally come into the NBA and they've never been less ready to make a huge impact. College quarterbacks now, because they're doing all these 7-on-7 camps, have never come into the NFL more ready to make an impact. So, I mean, in this draft's a great example in the NBA. We'll probably have two guys that have an impact in the first year. you know, it's just the reality of it. You go to college 1 year, you go to the NBA, you're 18 years old, you can't even drink at the hotel bar. So I'm with you. I look around the league right now, and I'm blown away by quarterbacks. And I want to segue into this. I watched Cam last night. He's pretty solid last night. But I think to myself, he's not quite as dynamic as these Lamars and, you know, the Tuas and stuff and all that. And, you know, he's never been the, you know, the efficient kind of, you know, Derek Carr, you know, quarterback, Russell Wilson efficiency. What's the market for Cam Newton right now? What is it?
I think it's a great question because obviously when he won that MVP, he was so athletically gifted and he was such a threat as an athlete that, you know, it opened up all those other, the play action stuff, the one-on-one stuff. There were probably 10 or 12 design QB runs, and he was so physically gifted. When things broke down, he just made plays and you know, deserved that MVP that he won. He's had about an eight-game stretch there in 2018 under Norv Turner where he was really efficient with the football, throwing the football. You know, I think from a market standpoint, that Cam has entered a place where he's going to be given opportunities or he's earned opportunities, but he's going to have to go in and compete and try to win jobs. It's not just going to be one of those things where we're going to sign you to a long-term deal and you're our quarterback. We'll sign you to a three-year deal, but you're a backup or getting backup money, and you're going to be given the right to either mentor a young quarterback coming in or compete with a young guy that we don't necessarily believe in. But I think that's kind of where he is right now, which, let's face it, there's a lot of guys that have lived a long time in the National Football League playing that role and have gotten plenty of times where they got to start and got to play a lot. So I just don't think he's one of those guys you're going to sign to a long-term deal and say, man, you're our quarterback for the next 3 years. Let's go win some ball games. I don't think that's where he is in his career anymore.
Okay, so I got a lot of heat. It's unfortunate, but America picks on me. But whatever, I can handle it. So I said last week I didn't like Baker out of college. I didn't like Johnny Manziel out of college. I wasn't a big fan of the showboat and Cam. I wasn't a big fan of the silliness of Jameis. And I'm watching Drew Lock dance around, and I'm like, dude, can you win? Get some W's. Like, I'm over that. And I, you know, they asked him about it. He was a good sport, but I'm like, the last 2 weeks, I'm just like, he's been terrible in the first three quarters, and then mop up time, he gets yards. But is there any? I mean, I just see this, and I know I don't want to be old guy yelling at clouds, but I do see this, and I'm like, just can you win? Can you be good? I mean, Justin Herbert, I'd even let a little of that out because you may not win, but you're really exceptional. How does that play in Denver?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there's a lot of new school, like, oh, let the kid dance. You know, he won a game. I tend to be with you, kind of time and a place. Go earn that. And, you know, and go play well. I mean, you have to understand that for seven quarters, I mean, in Kansas City and then in against the Chargers, for seven quarters, you were absolutely horrible. And then you put one quarter together where, hey, let's face it, you look at the Chargers, they gave up two touchdowns in three plays.
Yeah.
Two touchdowns in three plays on a blitz against the run. They had a gap assignment failure, and Philip Lindsay takes it 60 yards or whatever for a touchdown. And then they had a blown coverage, and Deshaun Hamilton scores a touchdown. Like, that wasn't you guys being exceptional. That was the Chargers being awful, being the Chargers. And so there's kind of a time and a place aspect to that, you know, kind of more old school time and place aspect. You got to be good. And, you know, when you watch Drew on film and even last week, you know, mopping up and putting up yards and scores in the fourth quarter when defenses are just playing back going, guess what? We'll give you yardage. We want you to complete the ball because we want the clock to run. That's not you all of a sudden figuring it out in the fourth quarter. You know, people here in Denver are like, well, why don't they just do what they do in the fourth quarter through the whole game? Because the teams aren't just going to give it to you in the fourth quarter. When they're up by, you know, 21 points, yeah, they're going to let you complete some balls. So, yeah, I think the jury is out right now. And, you know, I wrote down in my notes when I came home from doing the Raiders game, the Raiders-Chargers game, I wrote my notes because I sat down here in the kitchen and watched the game from about 11 to 1 o'clock in the morning, taking notes and charting it. And I wrote down the sixth sense. And the meaning of was that was I see dead people. Like, How many perceived pressures are you going to feel, and how many times are you going to just take off after your first read is not open? To compete in this league and to compete consistently in this league, and it's kind of what we were talking about Cam, you have got to, at some point, be able to eviscerate defenses from the pocket. And if you can't, guess what? You're not going to consistently win, at least not in the playoffs. And think about it from, you know, like Lamar Jackson. What do we say? Phenomenal. Won the MVP. Unbelievable. If you can get him down by 10 and make him compete from the pocket, guess what? Your odds of winning have become dramatically better. And so I still will be old school in that if you can't win from the pocket, you can't win. Not the big games.
Yeah. Mark Schlereth, good seeing you, buddy. Three rings, two Pro Bowls. Thanks, buddy.
You got it, bud.
You know, it is funny. Like on Twitter, everybody likes new school, old school's bad. And listen, I like new music. I'm not into old music. I'm not into classic rock and roll. I heard it when it wasn't classic. It was fine. I tend to be a little more progressive on certain things, but I do think old school matters. Like I think time and a place matters. With Drew Locke, it's like there's a time and a place to do that. Dude, you're awful for three quarters. And they go into a prevent, and against Atlanta, you're awful for three quarters. Then they go into a prevent. Like I want to see stuff before dancing. There's a time and a place for everything. Time and a place. And that, if I'm old school on that, all right, old school's not always wrong, not always right, not always wrong. Coming up next, the Cleveland Browns have a problem. It's not Baker. It's the Miami Dolphins. I'll explain coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades. Get them at Walmart. Last two times longer than other blades for crappy winter weather. It's great to have you in. Top of the hour, Herd hierarchy. So, I made my NFL predictions, and I thought this was going to be mostly a rebuilding year for Miami, but I love the way they finished last year. 5-4 in their last nine, better than New England. But I thought they'd still be kind of 7-9. When you got a good coach like Brian Flores, they're good. The problem with them being good, it's bad for Cleveland. So if you look at the AFC playoff picture to now, and remember, the Raiders have already beaten Cleveland. So if that's a tie, the Raiders go in. So not only are the Raiders ahead of the Cleveland Browns, but the Dolphins are now in a tiebreaker ahead of the Cleveland Browns. And here's the problem. Here's Cleveland's remaining schedule, and they've got what I would call a wildly inconsistent defense. Love Myles Garrett. You could have the rest of it. They face these quarterbacks with a so-so defense. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Big Ben, Carson Wentz, Ryan Tannehill. These are really good quarterbacks. Miami faces, with this defense, which is a great defense, a bunch of baby quarterbacks. If you go and look at who the Dolphins face in the next month, rookie Justin Herbert, seemingly rookie Drew Locke, Sam Darnold, Joe Burrow. By the way, then they get the Patriots 2 weeks after that and Josh Allen 2 weeks after that. So if you said this morning, I have to take the Dolphins or the Browns in the playoffs, better coach, looks like Miami, we'll wait on Tua, but he looks really efficient. They just beat Kyler Murray on the road. So all I see with Cleveland is a not trustable defense outside of Myles Garrett and a lot of big-name quarterbacks. With Miami, I see a lot of rookie quarterbacks or quarterbacks with less than 15 NFL starts with that defense and that coaching staff. Miami is better than we thought. And I've said this before about a business. I could take over Netflix today. And for the next 6 weeks, I wouldn't ruin it. In fact, I wouldn't ruin Netflix for the next 6 months. But the longer I was at Netflix and the more decisions I was asked to make that were crucial, in 2 years, I'd ruin it because I'm not a CEO, right? I could take over Microsoft or Apple. You wouldn't know anything for 6 days. You probably wouldn't know anything for 6 weeks. But 6 months in, that's a weird product we passed on. The longer Miami goes with Flores, they're just getting better and better and better. And Tua is just going to get better and better and better. And the way they're developing their rookies in Miami are getting better and better and better. Like when I watch Miami, I feel like they're a better team every week. I don't feel that with Cleveland. I kind of feel like this is what they are, hot and cold, depending on who they play. So the Raiders already beat Cleveland. I look at Miami this morning. If go back to the AFC playoff picture, it's good news for Miami. Next month, Miami faces baby quarterbacks with Brian Flores and that defense. And right now, I like Miami's next month way more than I like Cleveland's. Cleveland in the next month has to face Wentz, Deshaun Watson, and he has to go to Tennessee and follows that up with the Ravens. I like Miami that. Yeah, maybe it changes in a week or two, but today, Miami, Cleveland, if I had to pick, I'd take the Dolphins. Herd hierarchy coming up next on a Tuesday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd.